Together, our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we ask and receive that in this service we are flooded with the light of the knowledge of your glory. There is no error or confusion in this atmosphere. Clarity and simplicity that is found in your Son is our discovery in this service. We behold Jesus, your Son, as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we are edified. Amen. All right, quickly, 2 Timothy 2:15. We've been looking at the term temptations, trials, what they mean, the ABC of it. Something very basic that you need to realize and you need to know. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul, writing to a preacher, pastor, he says, study or be eager, spodazo in the Greek, to show or be diligent, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Study means to be diligent, be eager, to show thyself approved of God, that is, you're tested and tried. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing. The word rightly dividing means carefully cutting through the scriptures. In other words, and in the first service, we looked at the importance of reading literal things literally, but figurative things figuratively. And I told you in the first service, the moment you call material things seed, then you have a gross misunderstanding of what was ever said. Because seed refers to actions or words, right? And a seed is in itself. So when Paul says, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly, that means if you keep being non-generous, all you will reap is non-generosity. That's all you will be doing. Your actions lead to other actions of yours. But if you are generous, it leads to more generosity. So you increase as you keep acting on the word, you keep increasing in what you are doing. We said that earlier. And also, it also means that there will be nobody giving thanks to God on your behalf. And also, if you don't do anything. But if you do, there will be people that will give thanks to God on your behalf. And we looked at that. Now, we started looking at the word temptation. And I'll just review a few things I said in the first service. And we said, where does it come from? The idea of thinking that there is a spirit somewhere that is making you sin is unfounded. And we said that temptation is man-made. Can you remember that? We saw that in the first service. It's man-made. The same way you can locate your persecutors, who are men, you can locate where the temptation is coming from. And we say, how come the devil in Matthew 4:3 is called the tempter? We went to Matthew 16:23, and I showed you that Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And he was talking to a man. Thou savorest not the things which be of... Okay, you are an offense unto me, scandalion. You want me to commit sin. You savorest not the things that are of God, but of men. The word savor is the word pro. For new, it means you judge, you think, you care for the things of a man, but not of God. So you can locate Satan in men's attitude. Don't look for demons flying across your house. When you see an attitude that is in the flesh, that is obviously the devil. And we said in Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, you as he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks where? In the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in the time past in the flesh, and we fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, in the lust as well, by nature children of wrath, even as others. So in other words, pay good attention. Where you will find Satan's opposition, persecution, or temptation is amongst men. I've said that 1,000,000,001 times. If there's someone who has a habit, a sinful habit, and you are praying for the person and breaking the habit, you are making an error. The habit is not from a spirit living in him. While that can assist, but the truth is, temptation to sin is man-made. We saw that in the first service. It's man-made. There's no temptation that is not man-made, anthropinos, that is not common to man, is amongst men. And I said that that will solve a whole number of problems. It's man-made, it's human to be tempted. That's it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again, let's go back there. And James 1:13. Remember I told you in the first service to draw a line and see the distinction and the similarity between someone tempting you, sorry, persecuting you, trying you, and then a desire or a temptation to sin, that they are both the same. That while James 1:13 says you are drawn away, verse 14, the word LQ we showed, I showed you in the first service, which means that you are dragged off. You are taken away from your seat, persuaded. Then he says you are enticed, which I showed you meant that you are given a bait. You can't be the one baiting yourself. So therefore, it's the same way a test comes. And we said a test is to prove or disprove. Okay? To us, in Christ, it will prove. But the aim of the test or the tempter is to disprove. So you see it as an opportunity for growth. Remember we said that. It's an opportunity for growth. So two things happen in the temptation. Either you grow or you don't grow. And then 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him that thinketh he standeth, dokio, it means he who appears to stand. That means you are not standing. He who appears to stand, take heed, blepo, which means look carefully, be cautious, lest he falls. Pipto, it means you fall under. In other words, a whole lot of what guards the believer or keeps the believer from sin is the ability to watch. You must be cautious. Carelessness is one of the basic reasons why believers walk in sin. Carelessness. You didn't watch. Blepo means to look well and look out for some things. You are looking closely and saying, what I'm watching, what I'm reading, who I'm speaking with. Am I looking at what is coming to me from it? Take heed, lest he falls under pipto. James 1:13, he's enticed. Then he's drawn away. He shows you the motions, just like it happened to Adam, because he's actually mirroring Adam. That there is a test, there is a drawing away. Then when it's now sowed, he now says, when it is fully grown, it now brings forth sin. That is, the process can be monitored. You can monitor the process, James 1:13-15. You can monitor it. You can see it. And you can stop it from growing to maturity. And this is where it differs. You know, we also said the word epitomai, that's the first service. It means focused attention. Focused attention. Oftentimes, what makes believers fall into sin is what they give their focus to. Focused attention, drawn by your epiphany, focused attention, which can be positive and also negative. We saw Luke 22:15. Jesus said, I desired to eat with you. I'm focused on it. My attention is on it. Philippians 1:23. Paul says, to desire to be with you, I desire to be with the Lord. Focused attention. Say sin. Shall be sin. Happens. Via focused attention. So notice that focused attention. That's very vital. An attention that is, you know, there's something you just look at and you take your eyes away. Okay? But there are things that you look at and you keep looking at it. That's where sin is birthed. It's from there then you get the enticement. Just like we read in the first service. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he paints a scenario to us. So, if you were in the first service, how then can we differentiate Jesus being tempted? He is tempted. You know, I told you in the first service, at all points, like as we are, is wrong. But he was tempted at all points, the same way. In other words, he had desires, but he did not focus on them. So he wasn't drawn away. He had desires, but he did not focus on them. And if you look at the first one was to turn stone into bread, which had to do with appetite. Then he said, man shall not live by bread alone. We're going to look at his temptation in a moment. Then he says, you know what? You know, why not just jump? You know, whatever that was for, it had to do with just what you can basically call the pride of life. Jump. Jump. And he says, no, you will not tempt the Lord your God. You will not tempt the Lord your God. So, he didn't put his focus on it, which is because you're human, desires will come. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest on it. So the bird is flying over your head, a desire, but the moment it's building its nest on it, then you have a focused desire, and so Jesus didn't allow it to focus. The third one was, of course, the lust for things, material wealth. Bow with me, I'll give you all of these things. I'll give you Amazon, I'll give you Apple, come on. I'll give you, what's Bill Gates on again? Microsoft. But he didn't focus on it. And everything that Jesus went through in the wilderness as a temptation, we saw each one in his ministry. He had times that people wanted him to do something for the sake of it. Make a sign. And he resisted it. He had times when he was told to have material things, you saw that those were the things he resisted in his ministry. And also, when he had the issue of appetite and food and all that, you saw all that in his ministry. He dealt with appetite for natural things. He dealt with the allure to just do things for the sake of the flesh and for pride. And he dealt with the allure for material ownership of things. So he didn't focus on it. And that went through his entire ministry. So sin doesn't just happen, it happens through focused attention. Are you with me? Are you with me? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writes to this church and he uses an example in verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lost it. The word example is the word tupos. Okay? That is something that can be replayed. Then he says, don't lust after they lost it. That is, they were given the word, spiritual meat, spiritual drink, the rock that was Christ. He said all that in verse 2, 3, and 4. But God wasn't pleased with them because of unbelief. So he's saying to you that the same things the unbeliever will do, the believer can do the same thing. That's what he's saying. But to the believer, it will be drawing him away from the godly desires he ought to have because he's born again. Pay attention now. So, he says, to lust after. Look at the word to lust after. It's the word epithumetis. I'll spell it for you. Epithumetos. It is to... Now, epi means upon. So it's focused passion. To set upon. A focused passion. Go to Matthew 5:28. Matthew 5:28. Jesus says, when he who looks at a woman lustfully. In those days when I just got born again, I got saved in a very conservative background. We call that lucre. There is sin of lucre. Looks on a woman to lust after has committed adultery with her already in his heart. He's telling you that where did the adultery start from? In the heart. How did he get there? Epithumetis. Focused attention. He got her pictures. Amen. Can I go on? Can I proceed further? God had pictures. Started watching videos. Doesn't have to see her physically. In days of Jesus, you have to see physically. Now, there are spiritual ways to see people. Look. Look upon. Now, it's not wrong to look at something focusedly. You are hearing God's word now. You are looking upon it in a focused way. For example, if you are meditating upon the word of God, you are looking upon God's word in a focused way. That's why in the same Matthew 13, verse 17, he says that the prophet desired to see. Matthew 13, 17. They desire to see the things that you see. That is, they looked upon it devotedly to see, but didn't see it. Same thing in Luke 15, 16 and Luke 16, 21. So, I know we read Luke 22, 15. Jesus desired to eat the Passover, which is positive. So there's a positive looking upon. And there's a negative one. It is saying he who looks upon a woman, it says to lust after her. That's different from admiring that, so that you won't say, ah, I can't admire somebody who's well dressed though. No, you can. But he's saying you now look upon it, and then you now start having a particular attention. It is already in your heart. Just exactly what James was saying. You have played the drama. What is he saying? He's telling us to focus on our hearts. You have played the drama already. You have seen it happen. Which usually is the case. In other words, a whole lot happened based on our imagination, our meditation. Interestingly, these words, epithumio, which is actually where the word epithumite is gotten from. I forgot to say that. It's found in Acts 20, 33. Paul says, I have coveted no man's silver and gold. I haven't focused on whose car is out there. I say, you have to sow it into my ministry. 1 Timothy 3, 1, he that desires the office of a bishop, positive. Hebrews 6, 11. Positive. James 4, 2. Negative. That's for lust, sin. 1 Peter 1, 12. Even the angels, he says. So in other words, he's saying to us that what happened is not just a desire. It's what? A focused attention. Because if desires was a sin, then even Jesus did. But no, it's a focused attention that you give to it that leads to sin. In other words, you didn't stop sin in its tracks. You can stop it. Tell me I can stop it. Very good. Let me ask you. Look at me here, everybody. Just look at me. 30, 10 seconds. Some of you can't even look at it 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Look elsewhere. You are still looking at me now. Let's do it again. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Look elsewhere. Good. Look back now. That's all you need to do. Look back. That's all you need to do. Take your attention off it. That's all. You know, in the first service, I said, do not overrate what? Your humanity. Don't overrate your humanity. Because there is no temptation. He says that you have laid your hands upon that is not common to humanity. So he tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, to now see neither, verse 7, be idolaters. Because that's what he was talking about. Idolaters, as there were some of them, as it is written, The some sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Idolaters is from the word heidolatitris. E-I-D-O-L-A-L-A-T-R-E-S is from eidolon, idol worship. Now, I want you to follow this well. There's something I want to show you in a moment, and I think you should pay attention. In Exodus 32 and verse 6 was where he asked us to look at. Exodus 32 and verse 6. Put your hands there and you will see what he's talking about. The next statement he says is, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. So let's go to Exodus 32. And verse 6. Many times the word fornication is used both for abnormal sexual relations, alright, between two unmarried people, or two, one married, one unmarried, and also it is used for idolatry, worshipping another god, or giving your devotion to someone else. So, when you see the word fornication, many times, look closely at what he's saying. Now, look at that Exodus 32 and verse 6. And rose up on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. So, they started the act of idol worship here. Now, I want to ask you a question. Where could Israel have gotten idol worship from? Egypt. See the similarity? That is, it's from the world. So, though they were out of Egypt, Egypt was not out of their minds. So, he's using that imagery. They're out of Egypt. But Egypt was still in their heart. They didn't learn it from their forefathers. They didn't learn it from Abraham, not from Isaac, not from Jacob, not from Joseph. No, but they got it from Egypt. So the next thing he says in 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. So don't expect to learn it from the church. That's what I'm trying to say. Praise God. Alright, verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, the word porneo, P-O-R-N-E-U-O. Obviously, fornication here is used for idol worship. The same word is used for, literally, in 1 Corinthians 6:18, we'll see that later on, flee fornication. Flee fornication. That is taking your body to join with an harlot. So, idol worship is taking your devotion to God to somebody else. So, the word fornication there is figurative of idolatry. Now, see the example he gives in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8. As some fornication and died, he says 23,000. Where is that found? Quickly, Numbers 25, verse 1. Now, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. Of course, many of them died. In verse 9, 20,000 and 4,000, different account. So, it talks about whoredom, that is, they began to commit whoredom. Here means that they married out of the wrong tribe, and that now led them into idol worship. So, he talks about association. And then he relates it to the reason why they worship idols. So I said earlier on that the word fornication can be used figuratively to express worship of another being or another god. And you could see that in quite a number of other texts. You'll see the literal ones in Matthew 21 verse 32, 1 Corinthians 6:15, and 16,
And then you find someone was called a prostitute, Rahab the harlot, Hebrews 11:31 and James 2:25. But then you will see it's used figuratively. For example, Revelation. Let's see Revelation. Revelation 3. Revelation 2, pardon me. 2 verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, that is, to eat things offered to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. So that has to do with the kind of worship that the people do. Now, hold on. 1 Corinthians 10 again. And they all fell. In verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some also tempted Christ and were destroyed, that's verse 9, of serpents. Now that's a whole number of places. Exodus 17:2, Deuteronomy 6:16, and Numbers 21 verse 6, specifically Numbers 21 verse 6. Then he says, let us tempt Christ. Now the word tempt Christ here, write it down. We've seen the word tempt and temptation in the first service, is the word ekperazo. E-K-P-E-R-I-A-Z-O. E-K-P-E-R-I-A-Z-O. It's the same word Jesus used, thou shalt not tempt your Lord, your God. In Matthew 4:7, when he was asked to fall down then die. Because that's what will have happened to him. You'll have fall down and die. So you won't tempt your Lord. Ekperazo means to pressure someone to do what he doesn't do. To pressure someone, and I can tell you, many folks that ask God to kill their enemies, they are tempting God. They are pressuring God to do what he would not do and what he does not do. So he says, don't ask for things that are not in the Word of God. Don't put your mind on things that are not God's will, not God's plan. As some did, he says, and he mentioned how they were destroyed of the serpents. To push beyond boundaries, you can write that down. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9. Neither, verse 10, murmur. Someone say murmur. Now, murmur means to show discontent. There's another way I saw this term, is the word goguzo in the Greek, G-O-G-G-U-Z-O. It means to use a mockery of sounds. You go, something like that, to mock something, and also to speak in tones of discontent and mockery. Hush tones, you say, oh, what's all this now? What's all this? Some people do that complaining. If it's the word of God, if it's the will of God, why then? You know, and then he says it's a temptation to sin. So murmuring and also the allure to seek for help outside of God, where he termed fornication, and of course fornication is also implied, that I didn't say it wasn't part of it, but what he was basically talking was worship. Everything he was saying there had to do with God. To tempt him, to murmur, to seek help elsewhere, had to do with God. So all he says there affects our service and worship of God. And he picks his imagery or his example from the Old Testament, constant mockery, constant use of sounds. That's, you're just complaining. Complaining. I've been a Christian for how long? How? A show of discontent. A Christian must be content. So they get angry. This is not you, it's more than you. You're more than this. Break forth into your destiny. He says, don't murmur. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10.
And they were destroyed of the destroyer. Not God. Holothetius in the Greek. O-L-O-T-H-R-E-U-T-E-S. Taken from Olothrio. O-L-O-T-H-R-E-U-O. O-L-O-T-H-R-E-U-T-E-S. Taken from O-L-O-T-H-R-E-U-O. You find that in Hebrews 11:28. What happened in Exodus 12 and 13? The destroyer, and that's not God. Praise the Lord. Now write this down. Which means the believer, if he allows his attention to be taken away, can do exactly the same thing the unsaved will do. I know some folks who, like Brother Hagin would say, we need to have a prayer meeting for them and lay hands on their head and ask God to fill their heads with something else apart from water. I know folks like that who say, there's no sin again. They're actually idiots that talk like that. Perennial idiots. He just told you that if you don't walk in the word, 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, you will walk as a mere man. And so he gives them examples of these mere men, those who didn't believe the word, who didn't believe the gospel. He said they lusted after things that if you don't take heed, you will lust after the same. Your desires don't change when you're born again. The direction just changes. They are now controlled. Because you now have new desires that came from God. But because you are human, those desires will still be there. But now, desires you have in the spirit, now check and cross-check what human beings influence us, and which we do normally as human beings. In verse 11, 1 Corinthians 10. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. Supos engrape. He says, and they are written for your admonition. The word admonition there is the word nothesia. N-O-U-T-H-E-S-I-A. N-O-U-T-H-E-S-I-A. Now, if you know what N-O-U-S is, what's N-O-U-S again? Thinking, mindset. It's for you to think. So the word nothesia means like an admonition that warns you. Like a caution. To caution you. Same terminology in Titus 3:10 and Ephesians 6:4. Caution. Are you there? Verse 12. Therefore, hallelujah. Therefore, so he's about to caution you that these things have happened so that we can caution you about them. Who's following what I'm saying here? So we can caution you. Let him that thinketh he standeth. Which is, you appear to stand, but you are not standing. Hallelujah. Dokio. Take heed. Someone say, take heed. What's the word again? Blepo. What does it mean? Look cautiously. How many of us we deal with diagnosis here? You work in a lab, or you're a doctor or a nurse or something. No, maybe a doctor, or you read lab reports. Let me see how you do. You read lab reports. You know how you look closely? And you check again and again, and you write your discoveries. That's what he said. Take heed. Where are you taking it? You are taking it after the things that you are desiring. You can't take heed from an external person. You take heed on your own desire. Where has your desires of late, where have they been focused on? It says, take heed lest you fall. Are we together? Now, he's talking about idolatry. That is to worship another apart from God. Now, today, when we say idolatry, you might find yourself thinking I'm talking about a shrine that has a skull and has a monkey and has snakes. No. Idolatry means to have a man-made God. I can tell you there are some doctrines in some churches that is idolatry, where you create God in your own image. And so he meant you now pressure, you seek after, you have mingled. I've seen people who try to make God relevant. They want to make God contemporaneous. That is, let him be contemporary. They are just like those Jews who mingled in war dawn. The kind of people you relate with now is changing your impression of God. Hallelujah. Someone said, but God, God, and he was talking about God the way the unsaved will talk about God. You know, there are some very good unsaved guys. Very nice guys. Hey, that's what we are saying. That's what we are saying. Somebody was talking to me one day. He said, Mahatma Gandhi said, I love Christ, but not the Christians. I said, yeah. He said, Mahatma Gandhi wasn't born again. He said, that's not the issue. That man lived selflessly for the entire India. He didn't know that I had read almost all Mahatma Gandhi books. As a young boy, my models in life, I've mentioned them to you. Mahatma Gandhi was one of them. I had a bad family, I would love him. I liked him. When he died, I went to touch his body. They didn't let me get close. I touched the glass cap. And I said, we'll continue from where you stopped. That's how passionate I was about it. Primary school, I was reading all Awolowo books. So, when he was telling me about Mahatma Gandhi, I smiled. I know Mahatma well. Pandit Nehru, I knew all that. I knew all of that. Indira Gandhi, Rajiv. Let me stop there. So, I said to him, Mahatma Gandhi says that the story of Jesus rising from the dead was a fable. He said, let's leave that aside. You are mad. I didn't tell the person directly because he doesn't believe that. But some of us have started having those views about Christianity. You are committing fornication. Fornio of worship. God is in Christ. Whoever Jesus showed us is God. That's who God is. You get those ideas. You start to like the attributes of the unsaved. Nothing wrong in admiring it. That's how believers ought to be. You are tired. Very, very tired. Follow this one. Paul has to say this because Corinth was a commercial town. Now, any place where there's a whole lot of commercial activities going on, all right, buying and selling, inventions, is prone to idol worship. This kind of idol worship. Money itself seeks to be worshipped. That's why Jesus never compared God with anything but mammon. It seeks to be worshipped. So you must watch it. Let him take heed, he says, lest he falls. Let him take heed. Watch closely. Philippians 3:2. Beware, that's what he's saying. Beware of dogs of the concession. Colossians 2:5. Beware lest any man spoil you. So he said you must watch it. Beware. Same word, blipo. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. 1 Corinthians 8, 9. Galatians 5:15.
Take heed that you be not consumed one another. That is, you are biting one, you are arguing. Be careful. We'll see that later. You just found yourself and brethren arguing of late. Arguing. Paul says, beware. It will start like a harmless argument. Husband and wife, friends, fellow pastors, fellow members of the zone, in your office. He said, take heed that this small, small argument, you will not bite one another, then you will devour one another. You know, we said that you can watch the motions of sin. You had a simple argument, and if this guy won the argument, he won the argument, or your husband wins the argument, your wife, or, you know, somebody maybe says something, and then you look somehow, and you go, and I didn't mean to say it that way, I didn't mean that. You know, you can stop there and just say, well, I'll talk to him about it later. Then you now go to somebody. I mean, I'm really wondering why pastor is saying that, because I didn't mean that. The guy says, the Bible says we just follow Christ. See? He's growing. Then in the evening, you now tell somebody about, I just believe that a Christ-centered message is not focused on the man of God. Can you see? Say, watch it. Watch it. Before you consume one another. It's an argument between your wife and yourself. It's just an argument. And he said, I don't agree with that. Then I say, look at me very well. Because I married you. You think you can talk to me anyhow? And your wife says, there were four guys. Four! I've seen couples say that in my presence. And I was laughing. Four! Say, you remember Tunde? Who was in social sciences? If not because he was not a Christian, I heard it before, I was there. And said, sad enough, he's now a Christian. So what's the big deal? I know where I was. Hey, I said, Jesus. These ones don't need counseling. It's foundation school. Tunde, not your own. No. Take heed. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:25. Same thing, just put their attention. There's another word that Paul uses for take heed. Let me just, that one is another Greek word, prosecho. P-R-O-S-E-C-H-O. P-R-O-S-E-C-H-O. That one is devoted attention. To pay attention in a devoted way. Acts 20:28, take heed to the flock and to yourself. 1 Timothy 4:1, that's about false doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attention to reading. It means to hold on to something and don't drop it. 1 Timothy 4:16, take it to your doctrine. Philippians 2:16, hold fast the word of life. So that I just mentioned that. So therefore, go back to 1 Corinthians 10. We are told to take heed. So say take heed. If all you learned in this service is taking heed, you have learned something. Watch out. In fact, that was my meditation yesterday evening. Watch out. You have to watch out. You know how security people look around? In Nigeria, I call it vigilante. I was going back one day from, it was not a vigil. I was coming, then the vigilante guy said, let me say that in English. So, who is that? Before I shoot you, was vigilante folk. I said, I'm a human being, I'm a human being. And they say, greater is he that is in me. At 3 a.m. Don't be an idiot. I've said it to you many times. God never designed you to live by miracles. Right? Miracles happen when there's a shortage or there's a problem, or when every other natural thing has failed. Miracles are not a substitute for natural things. If God wants you to live by miracles, you just be coming to church. As you are feeding on the word, there will be no appetite for food again. As you chop the word, you'll say, I'm full. Glory. Glory. No. And this is the reason why people don't, and I've said this over the years, divine healing is when you have, in the natural, nothing's worked. Then divine healing works. Divine healing is not, there's a lot of rain, oh, and you were sneezing in the house. You're saying, thriller, thriller, thriller. Oh, I'm not going to say, Hallelujah. I remember something happened in one of my sites. We own a site somewhere in the north that we're running it. And so there was a lot of flooding. And so they said, the guys on the site could not cross to the mainland. And so I said, Pastor, what do we do? Why did you mention Pastor? That's blackmail. I said, say MD. I said, stay there. Say, he's thinking he should cross. I said, don't let him cross, oh. How many times Jesus walked on water? When there was storm in the sea, he didn't say, let's walk on the water. He says, this is tea. So, the same thing with prosperity. Prosperity is different from needs being met. Needs being met. I couldn't get transport there. I don't have enough money. I'm going home. I believe God. The song will help me. Then you stay at the door and somebody helps you and you get home or they give you money. You won't be coming there every Monday. Prosperity is you now go and work. So you have money at least to take keke. That is prosperity. Who's following what I'm saying? There are different things. Some things, sometimes people have a grammar problem. It's a grammar problem. Prosperity now means increase. You are making increase. That one is the work of your hands. Is that very clear? Aha. So, you have to take heed. That's what Paul is saying here. Take heed lest he falls. You have to watch. You watch. Praise the Lord. Say, I take heed. Very good. So he gives us examples. And he says, there is no temptation that is not common to man. It's amongst men. He said, but God has made a way of escape. I showed you in the first service. What it means is the Greek word ekbasis. It means an outcome. God does not control temptations. That, no, this one must not come to you. Some people have taken that to mean, God, you have said, you will give me any load that is too big for me to bear. Another translation. No, what he's saying is, he has given you his ability that no temptation can be above it. God is not the one controlling temptation. No, don't do this yet. And I say, don't try it without you. If you try it. No. That's terrible Bible interpretation. But God has made a way of escape. Say, I have the ability to overcome every kind of temptation. So, what does he say is how do we, he says, and you're able to bear it. Okay? To bear it, we said in the first service, is the word hypophero. That is, you are able to pass through it and run away from it. The word of God doesn't change the temptation. It only directs your attention away from it. Now look at the next verse. Let's take verse 14 together. Wherefore, my beloved, flee! Someone say flee. What does it mean to flee? Someone told me, turn away in disgust.
No. It actually means to run. And it can be used differently. He used the same phrase in chapter 6 verse 18 for literal fornication. Flee from fornication. To flee here means to run. To run. Don't. Now, where does it start again? From the heart. Can you remember that? So he says, run from it. So, run from what brings the information to your heart. Run from it. Flee from it. The brother, for example, in 1 Corinthians 5, he rebukes the church that the brother was not sober about it. He just wasn't sober about it. He just didn't see anything wrong in what he was doing. And Paul says, that kind of person must not be left among believers. He will leaven the entire lump. He will give us a sense of it doesn't matter. He's not saying when a brother commits sin. No. In Galatians 6:1, he says, if anybody falls into sin, you restore him back. If he's caught in a sin, that's the one that is caught publicly, he meant. But he says, this one publicly is not caught, he's revealing it himself. He said, that brother, or he said, who calls himself a brother? That's how he says it. Let him go. Don't allow him. He's not saying when he comes to church, say, you can't enter. No. Don't eat with him. That is, the brethren, he can come to church, we can pray in the prayer meetings, but we do not interact. He doesn't go in our car. We don't go to visit him. We don't eat with him. Because he has an attitude of irreverence. Not that, don't come to church again. If we see you at the door, security! Leave the place! No. That's not what it means. Don't eat with him. Let him feel uncomfortable about his behavior. He can do that among believers, but among unbelievers, pardon me, but not among believers. Of course, why are we doing that? Paul says, so that we see his sincerity. If he's a true Christian, he won't rebel. He will show remorse. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 2. He said, when you have seen that, prove your love towards him. Let Satan take advantage of you. Accept him back. Eat with him. Praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. You learning something? You learning something? Look at this. Paul says, unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of uncleanness, fornication, lasciviousness which they have committed. Now I checked that word, and I think we need to look at it. Now when it says lasciviousness, is the word aselgia. E-S-E-L-G-I-A. It means indecent behavior. Indecent behavior. It also means no restraint. To cast off restraint. Check the references where you find the same word. Romans 13:3. In Galatians 5:19, it's the work of the flesh. In Ephesians 4:19, it's the work of the old man. And 1 Peter 4:3. Romans 13:3. Romans 13:13. I'm sorry for that. Galatians 5:19. Ephesians 4:19. And 1 Peter 4:13. It means no restraint. The issue wasn't that they sinned. It was they had no restraint. No restraint. They weren't trying to deal with it. It says, they haven't changed. Watch this. Which they have committed, now I check the word, it has to do with something they had done before, promatano, P-R-O-M-A-N-T-A-N-O. Now, this is a very tricky word, and I must confess, I can't exactly place my hands on what he is saying. Because it appears, of course, it's something they had done before. Now, it has a slant of something they were doing before they got saved, and they still continue doing it. Also, it looked like something they had done before and had spoken about, but they had not changed. But I can't exactly say this is what he's talking about. But in both ways, it's something that we could think about. So, he says, and they have not repented. Metanoeo, M-E-T-A-N-O-E-O. They have not changed the way they see it. So, that's where the lack of restraint. They have not changed the way they see it. I remember one time I was in a meeting. Was I in the meeting? I think I was. And the lady was asking questions. Said, what is all this? And they were teaching about sexual sins and all that. And she said this publicly. All these things about my body, temple of the Holy Ghost. I don't understand it. My body is my body. I said, M-O-G. That means not born again. Let us speak in tongues like glossolalia. This one is not born again. Believers don't talk anymore. The lack of restraint. And Paul says in chapter 13, verse 2, I write them that have sinned, and to all others that if I come again, I will not spare. So he's saying the cure to this is rebuke. So the cure to lack of restraint is what? Rebuke. Now they are born again because he says, look into your heart, verse 5, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Christ is in you. I preach to you. I know you are born again. But there's no proof in your conduct. So the cure to restraint is rebuke. That's the cure. Where there's no caution. There's no restraint. You are not putting a limit on what you do and how you do it. The cure to it is rebuke. In verse 10, chapter 13, he says, I come. And I'm coming to come and rebuke you. I'm coming to use sharpness, but not for your destruction. So what's the cure in all of that? The cure is restraint. So I say restraint. Self-control is a key aspect, of a Christian life. Now, let's take one very vital thing he says here. Let's get back to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14. He says to flee. So, let's look at this. If you are not fleeing, what are you doing? You are living without restraint. Let me see if you understand that. Without restraint. Now, what example is he drawing from? Joseph. Genesis 39, verse 7. Genesis 39, verse 7. It came to pass, after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now, cast her eyes, which she fixed on him. She sent him texts, sent him emails, amen, amen, WhatsApp, BlackBerry Messenger. Started from, you look very good today. And you thought very nicely. You look very good. Then gradually you drop the spiritual discussion of the discussions. Then you say, can we be real? And he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master, what not? What is with me in the house? He had committed all that he had to my hands. There is no greater in this house than I, neither have he kept back anything from me. But because you are his wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It came to pass, as she spake to Joseph, how long? Day by day. Someone say words. Okay. So, it comes to us by words. Words and actions. Day by day, that he hearkened not to her, to lie by her, and to be with her. Two things. He even avoided being with her alone. I say it oftentimes. Privacy is how to break the trap of most immoral sins. Privacy. If you break the privacy trap, you break the immorality trap. Because the temptation is to keep it private. Not bad to lock your phones and have passwords and all that, but ensure it's for the right reasons. Because the privacy, always privacy, is the fertile ground for immorality. Privacy. If you break the privacy trap, because by breaking the privacy, what you have done is that you have fled. You break the immorality trap. You following this? And look at what he does. And it came to pass that by the time he went to the house to do his business, and none of the men were with there with him, he didn't know, obviously, and she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." He left his garment in his hand and fled and got him. Now, I believe what happened was he had always been running when he saw her. But this time around, she now got bitter about it and said, "Okay, I'm going to teach this brat a lesson." And she now caught his clothes and went to lie against him. And that's very, very likely what happened. But the point was, he ran. You run from words, you run from actions, sins, thoughts that communicate sinful conduct to you. You will run from it. If you take away the privacy trap, immorality has no hold. Don't overrate your humanity. What did I say? Don't overrate it. Run. Stay away from it. Don't engage in that chat again. It actually means block the person. Amen. Shall I say it again? Block the person. If it's a WhatsApp, if it's BlackBerry, if it's Facebook, block the person. It actually means don't take a stroll again. That's what it means. That's what it means. It's not about praying about it and, you know, no. If you have to always be acting on the word will act on you. So you flee. You walk away. It means you will not watch. Now, I remember years ago, I found out that my family were a film family. We used to watch movies, sometimes the weekend. I remember one time they did a census or something, I'd forgotten. And I think it was for a whole week. And we watched movies for 10, 12 hours every day or more. It was more than that. There was a day we watched a movie, North and South, by this guy, Patrick Swayze. North and South. And it was, the movie was into 23 parts. And we did not leave the sitting room till we were done. We slept there, ate there, they were through with the movie. Now, that, what else is aselgia? Lack of restraint than that. So I decided to take a break of television. And I did. I took a break of television for a while. I mean 2 years or so. All I watched on TV, of course, was football. That one was not an... That's why today I'm quite very, very ridiculous when it comes to what I do now is that I check out what I want to watch. I check the review and I ensure that it has no content that is corrupting, you know, and all that. Sometimes you don't know. They won't put it there till you see it yourself. You know, and all that. And, you know, just something that makes sense. And I remember that was Pastor Kumuyi once said years ago that the TV is devil's box and people went after him. Is it not correct? It's God's box, who they share it. You put that, the devil put devil there. They'll go put there. So it depends on which channel you choose to watch. But if you don't know how to control your remote control, you can't control your desires. Know when to change the channel and take it off. And my dad, they will watch movies, and my dad will tell us, "What did you learn?" And what's that like? Endurance. Perseverance. Yeah, what we learned was how to kiss. How to remove a woman's wear. I mean, the movies were very explicit. And he said, "What did you learn?" I remember we watched one woman of, what's it again? Prodigal Daughter. What's the series? That's the beginning. Like that. Oh, you don't even know the movies. It seems like that. Shall we tell the president? And we watched the whole thing. And he said, "What did you learn?" He said, "Industry. How to fight." We say that in the room. When we go to the boys' room, come and see Jesus. This is real meditation.
Hallelujah. So we said that epitomia is desire. What you set your attention on is what brings sin. So, what do I do when desires come? Now again, where do these desires come from? Amongst men. You can never get tempted praying in tongues. Please stop praying in tongues. And this is stop praying in tongues. I mean, when you stop praying in tongues, then you it will be waiting for you. Are you done? Are you edified? Now let's talk. Do you understand? So, the first thing, if you notice what Jesus did in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, is that obviously those things were communicated in thoughts. Jesus said. Thoughts are words being processed. So, you take away a thought from your heart by speaking. Let me show an example that Crayford Dollar used a couple of days back. Try and do something. Try and think. Please stop. Let's do an experiment. Try and think anything. Be thinking about anything. All right. Think about something. Let's just think about something. Anything that comes to your mind. Anything. Just think about what you want to do at work tomorrow. Now, start saying something else immediately. Talk now. What happened as you started talking? You cut off the thought. Exactly. You will paralyze thoughts by words. The moment it comes to your mind, say something. Three occasions, Jesus spoke the word. It is written. You see, I know who to say I am. I'm the Father's house. I'm His holy place. Not before church, you need ammo. Amen. It's when the desires come, then you reply with words. I have control over my desires. Sin has no dominion over me. I walk in the Spirit. I don't feel the lust of the flesh. I have self-control. Is a result of my spirit. I'm walking in it now. So the thought of the porn site you were trying to watch, or the desire to masturbate, you said, no, this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The temple of the Holy Ghost. It's used to minister unto others. In the name of the Lord Jesus. As the thoughts come, start to release words. Start to speak words. Praise God. Now, don't forget, you have to flee. So, it's not as you speak the word, you now take your laptop. This body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you go XXXR. That's the Holy Ghost. You first of all flee. Is that very clear? What's flee? You take the laptop, don't throw it away. Shut it down. Then, the fact that you put the laptop away doesn't mean the thoughts are not still there. Then you exchange the thoughts with the word of God. Say, I put, you say, the flesh has been crucified. The lust and the affections thereof. I live in this way, I walk in this way. Sin has not been over me. As he is, so am I in this world. My desires are godly. Hallelujah. They are godly. Hallelujah. My desires are godly. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You say that. You don't just say, Now you're checking your head. No, words will always battle thoughts. I know Jesus did that quickly. That means he did not allow his attention to be fixed on those thoughts. As they come, don't allow your meditation to be on those desires. So it means you will meditate on the word, just like Jesus did. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15, meditate on these things, give yourself wholly unto them. The word to meditate means to imagine.
used in Acts 4:25. Imagine them. So you now begin to imagine yourself not doing the wrong things. You imagine yourself not sleeping with the wrong person. You imagine yourself, or having sex with the wrong person is the right thing to say. You having yourself not stealing. You having yourself, think about it, you are not lying. You are not dishonest. You don't get angry. You not have those things in your thoughts. You're saying the word. It's not positive speaking, though, because the word of God is your reality. Say, the word of God is my reality. So you now put that reality in your mind. That's Christian living. You exchange those thoughts with what you are saying. Not that you are watching the X-rated movie and what the world says I am. No. You first of all flee. In your fleeing, you are now speaking the word. Hallelujah. Are you there? Aha. That's how to do it. That's the word of God for you. James 1:24 says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer. That is, you are not neglecting the things that you are taught, the things that you have read, but a doer of the word. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. Praise the Lord. So notice, where do those thoughts come from? Those thoughts come from the social media. You know, in those days, you will have to do many things to see sinful sights. Now, just a phone. That's all. It goes that people will not even know what you are doing. It can be that subtle. So you learn to flee. That's the first thing. You learn to flee. You learn to look at what you watch and who you listen to. And you know, the point is that we don't have Christian profession. That this profession is agios, sanctified to the Lord. Every profession has human beings. And some of them are even born again and they are still Egyptians. So write in your office, lewd talk. People use F words, swear words. People discuss different things. Praise the Lord. And you are right there. You can't say, I'm fleeing from that office. What do you mean? I'm resigning. Simply means that when discussion is going on, you can put earphones on and begin to hear God's word. Hallelujah. You can also make friends with those in your office who are godly. Even if they are pretending. But at least their pretense will help you. Are you following what I'm saying? Aha. So, you therefore will look at people who are godly. And godly. Praise the Lord. Who walk in the word. Look at 2 Samuel 11. You learning something? Paul asks us to look into these books. 2 Samuel 11. This is David. In verse 2. It came to pass in an evening tide. Someone say evening tide. That's in the evening. That's a good time. He rose up from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. It's like he's watching a movie. It's like he went to the balcony. It's like he went to the, you know. And from the roof he saw. Someone say he saw. A woman washing herself. Hey! I read it from the scriptures. He saw her washing herself. Now, the writer here, he's so visual. She was very beautiful to look upon. Two things. He didn't have to imagine much. This is like many movies today. Many sights. You know, you don't need balcony to see these kind of things. Now, Facebook you need. And WhatsApp. That's all. And data. Particularly the ones they give you free at 12. Amen. Be careful of night browsing. In those days, when you were paying for browsing, people would do night browsing to watch pornographic sites. Because then you pay 100 naira per hour every day or 50 naira or so. But overnight, they'll give you overnight 100 naira. You will not go there. And those are the kind of things that have made immorality a major feature in our society. The ease of information. The moment he saw she was naked, he was going to say, ah! He said, ah. What's going on here? Ah. But why is she having a bath here? Ah. That's not right. But she's fine, though. Then he goes into other details. And as he begins to process that, he now said, who is this woman? That means he begins to ask for her email address. Your phone number, please. Your PIN. Are you on WhatsApp? You could look at the process. He fixed his thoughts on what he saw. He was not the one that asked her to go and have a bath there. But he was the one that kept looking. So, you watch what you fix your thoughts upon. Are you learning something? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. True. Aletheia in the Greek. Then he says, whatever things are honest. I love the word honest. The word honest there is the word semnos in the Greek. It means it is grave. Serious. Learn to major on serious things. You see, in the midst of let's be light and loose, comedy, you know, free music and all that, will come a whole lot of sinful thoughts. In fact, one comedian told me something one day. We're flying in the same airport. He said this. He said, through the same airport, he said that if you don't say those things, how can you sell? Because I asked him, I said, you're a believer. How come you say, ah? He said, if you don't say those things. In fact, the fellow told me that I've known you for years. I've been listening to you. He told me a year he listened to me that I didn't even know. That was a while back. He's a popular comedian in Nigeria. So I've been listening to you. I said, I follow you well. I hear the word. I said, but sir, we have to make money. He said, if you don't say those things, how? People will not, you just say jokes that people say, if you don't put those lewd things, so how will people follow you? That's the spirit of the age. So as a believer walks in this world, Paul says in Ephesians 5:17, you have to walk carefully. Not as fools. Don't be a fool. I say, I like movies. I like theater. They will soon become a theater. They will scatter you. I like movie. I like theater. I like this. I mean, that's what I want. Let's go to the beach. It's good. But minimize it. Have a control over it. Praise the Lord. Don't do it without restraint. So, whatever things are grave. So I say grave. That word is used in 1 Timothy 3:8, 11, and Titus 2:2 for those who will be in leadership. They must be serious minded. We can't put someone in leadership who is just a comedian. Yeah. Who is grave. It's a serious minded person. Praise the Lord. Just making jokes on social media, just making fun, and then the fun now goes out of reach. One day like that, there was one church, they were having introduction or something like that. So they went to celebrate a sister who was having, he was in Ibadan. I was there, I think Brother Tokes was there. This was 1996 or 7. And so, they were singing the Christian songs, you know. There's a way you are singing Christian songs, but you are dancing to something else. You know? They are singing, the lyrics are Christian. But what is in the minds, the kind of dance they were dancing.
And so they were, and so the guy that was playing the drums and, you know, playing the music, it was like a band. They now saw that it was not around 12 midnight. They had danced and danced and danced. They started with a, Jesu. So when they had gone to the height that the dancing was now super balloon. Everybody was, it was now, you could never remind they were Christians. They were dancing. The guy just said, baby, me show God. I was there. They just continued. They did not know when he changed the songs. I'm not joking, though. I've said this many times. I said, hey. They got to the height. They didn't even know what was playing again. They did not know when the lyrics are changed. Hallelujah. Taught his self-control. He said, be grave. Whatever things are grave. Whatever things are right, just. Dikia, used for righteous things. Whatever things are pure, agno. Have no impurities. Whatever things are lovely. The word lovely is the word prosphilis. P-R-O-S-P-H-I-L-O-S. Worthy of your personal affection. Worthy of your personal affection. Whatever things are good report. Euphemos in the Greek. Euphemos. E-U-P-H-E-M-O-S. That has a good reporting. That when they say this, they will say that's a Christian life. Whatever things are excellent, a pity. Used for things that are upright and morally good. In 1 Peter 2:9, he says, to show forth the praises, the excellence of he that has called us. In 2 Peter 1, 3 and 5, the same thing. Whatever things are excellent, upright. Whatever things are praise, epinos in the Greek. E-P-A-I-N-O-S. Which means worthy of commendation. He says, think on these things. So before you fix your thoughts on something, before you watch the movie, before you read the novel. I remember somebody told me, two sisters. One said he was having a serious problem in morality. The other person was that she had a serious masturbation problem. In fact, they used to go, at the point they had to get the doctor. Then I said, what do you read? So I saw that they had a whole lot of Mills and Boons and all those things. I said, this is the spirit. You can't read things like this every day. And your radio is always tuned to something FM. And then you say, there's no problem. This is the problem. What you are thinking on. Would the Christian life not be dry? That's it. The Christian life is dry of the flesh. It has to be dry. Praise the Lord. Think on these things. And watch brethren too, who have no restraint. Don't be their friends. They have no restraint. They are ungodly in their behavior. Aselgia. They have less reverence. Because the writer of Hebrews says we should beware of Esau. Esau was the guy that Jacob said, will you give me your birthright? But he would say, what is a birthright? Who cares? What is souls? Who cares? What's winning souls? What about your disciples? Who cares about disciples? Who cares? Just be aware of it. Lest that same spirit springs up in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can watch it. Watch what you put your focus on. You must. Let's see the third thing that we've spoken about. You flee, you speak, and you meditate. And then watch your company. Watch what? Your company. Do you know, your company today doesn't have to be people that live in your house. You can have people live with you and your closest friends are abroad. One day like that, there were four of us in the same room and we were there for about 2 hours. And we did not talk to one another. And we were all laughing differently. We're talking to other people that were not there. So, you can have influences that are not physically seen. Evil communication. 1 Corinthians 15:33.
That word communication is the word omilia. O-M-I-L-I-A. Omilia. A lot of us exploit. Evil communication. Omilia. O-M-I-L-I-A. Is used in Luke 24, 14 and 15 for people you talk with. People you talk with. But it's just a friend in the office, just a colleague. Well, you talk a lot. Anyone you talk with a lot in the day will influence your life. Evil communication. In Acts 20:11 and Acts 24:26 is used for those you share thoughts with. So you watch your company. That's why Paul will say in Romans 16:17, when you see someone who teaches contrary to the doctrine. A preacher says this to me yesterday. He was talking about some preachers and how that they have twisted the doctrine and all that. And I said, let's pray for them. He said, sir, I'll pray from afar. I said, why? Ah. He said, if I pray closely, we'll start praying about the same things. See, I'll pray from afar. There are preachers that I like. I love them as a younger preacher, and I'm forever grateful for the influence they've had in my life. I'm forever grateful. I mean, I learned many things. But when I discovered the things Paul said would destroy a man's doctrine forever, even if those preachers, if they are preaching on TV, and I see, this is it all, and I see a Chelsea game, I'll watch a Chelsea game. You know what that is? A Chelsea game. I'll watch it. But I already know a Chelsea game, what it is. I know who they are. I've not said anything. They're a club in London. That's how bad. Because in 1 Timothy 6:5, Paul says the same thing. Withdraw yourself from them. You have to. Even if they are also saying some, Christ is all. Christ is all. Is all what? Banker. No. Withdraw, he says. Pray from afar. Do you know that we read the Numbers 25. If you had read the previous verses, it was Balaam who wanted to cross the children of Israel, and I couldn't. He said, you know what? Make them intermarry and commit wardom with the Moabites. So whatever evil you want to do to them, you'll get it done. He knew that if he could allow them break away from amidst believers, or those who are walking in the spirit, and you go and walk in the flesh, whatever you wanted me to do before, it will be done. That's why Balaam couldn't curse them, yet they were destroyed the chapter afterwards. All because of company. What the devil can't get to you through any other means, he will get to you through a company. The wrong company. So, I tell people many times, spiritual growth is 70% the company you keep. Don't forget, the company you keep can be your church ideally, but you can be going to church, faithful, but you are more faithful in other relationships that you keep. This is not a way to stay away from the world. I preside over non-Christian organizations. I'm involved in non-Christian organizations. And we interact. I do business with non-Christians, and we have to talk a whole number of times. A whole lot. I had a fellow like that we worked together, was the chairman of a company that we formed, and he was, in fact, he's a prominent Nigerian, he's a Muslim, you know, his child was a Christian because he married a Christian, and born again, I mean. And we were talking. Talked many times, and, you know, but I restricted the discussion to the business. All the time. So that we don't have lack of restraint. This is an academic relationship. This is a business relationship. This is a professional relationship. I have organizations I belong to. Foundations. I have organizations I belong to. I mean, in my Alumni Association, I'm the president. I've been the president for about 7-8 years. And we talk, we have a chat group that we talk, because I'm the president, I have to be there.
And some of them will post some very, very silly things. You know, I won't just watch it. I won't just see it. You know? So, it's not that you are out of this world. Don't just allow the world to squeeze you into its own mold. Who's following what I'm saying here? That's the point. You must know the motions and keep it at a distance. Sometimes, it could come by family members. And all that. So, association. Hebrews 10:24 says, we must provoke one another unto good works. I'll close here. Hebrews 10:24. So you watch the company. You watch your thoughts before they become your words and your actions. When you see something introducing ungodliness to you, what do? Run away from it. What else? You pray. Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 26, that should be verse 45 or so. He says, pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray. Commit your associations, your business dealings in prayer. When last did you pray about your work in your office? That you live a sincere life there. When last did you pray about your conduct on your campus? That you live a sincere life there. Why do you think Paul was praying for believers? And consistently. Colossians 1:9 to 11 said that they will walk in the will of God. Philippians 1:9 to 12, that they will do things with sincerity. Hebrews 13, that should be verse 18 or so, or 19, he says that we will do, the minister of the gospel will do things in honesty. So you pray. You pray. Don't leave your business engagements outside your prayer. That in this business, as I sell clothes, that I be a worthy ambassador of the gospel. That my heart is free from offense. In my office, I'm working with the governor, or I'm working with the president. That I become the example of a believer there. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Who's following what I'm saying this afternoon? You pray. Don't leave out those areas of your prayer. As you are praying for revelation knowledge. That you grow in the word of God as you engage the things of the world. That your heart be free from offense. Are you following this? The worst thing you can do is to do nothing. You can't do nothing. Jesus did not do nothing. He didn't just hear, first on to bread. Woo! Glory! No! It is written to do something. To speak the word of God. You fill your thoughts with the word. The moment the thought comes, don't allow it to become an action. Put the word ahead. Are you there? Recognize who you are. Immediately. Paul, several times in 1 Corinthians 6, know ye not, know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. When men were intermingling with harlots, how can you take the members of Christ and join to that of an harlot? Is that possible? For he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Recognition. So let your words recognize you. I am the temple of God. Since God has no dominion over me, that loss has no dominion over me. I don't get angry. Ephesians 4:26 says, I refuse to be angry and sin. I put away anger because I'm born of God. I'm not trying to justify my rage. No, I am justified in good conduct. I walk in the Spirit. I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. Are you there? Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5. 16, 17, 25. You live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Watch out. Watch your friends. Always know when your friends are derailing. Know it.
verse have been saying? When a member of your family is eating insects and you don't tell him, it's coming a day, both of you will not sleep. I would like to say it like this. You also start eating insects. Whatever your friend does consistently and you said nothing, very soon you will start doing the same thing. Hallelujah. Temptations are not myths. Temptations to sin are not myths. They are not some mysterious thing somewhere. You will know where it started from. You will know who said something to you. You will know what you watched. You will know what you saw. You will know what you were trying to be like. But you also know who you are and what you can do. God has given you all grace to come out well under temptation. Hallelujah. You know to flee. You know to speak the word of God. You know to walk in the Spirit. You know to meditate upon the word of God. You know to give good company. You know to pray. And you know to recognize who you are. Blessed today. Stand to your feet. Bless the Lord. Give him praise.